for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, May the 26th, 2001. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Jim Landry of Beaumont, Texas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Well, this afternoon is a deliverance evening service. And how many of you need deliverance?
Okay.
That's everybody. That's everybody. Amen. I've been on the road for a while, doing a lot of work, a lot of ministry when we returned from overseas. And so I intentionally didn't prepare anything. I have a lot of things that I would like to share. I've listened to, as me and my brother, a friend of mine was talking a while ago earlier, I just sort of kind of just tested the spirits and became friends with a lot of you. So I have a lot of things I'd like to share I think will help all of us in the ministry of deliverance. It is the believer's ministry. And if I had to title, which I'm not accustomed to title, but for the sake of taping, it is a believer's ministry. I believe God is trying to do a deeper work in all of us. I don't know if we have arrived yet, if we have gotten to a point in our life where we really will allow God to do the deeper work. We live in such a time right now where ministries are producing the quick fix. Name it and claim it. And I'm not saying it's certainly, there's certainly some truth to this, okay? But I'm not saying that this is always the way God heals. Sometimes there is a situation where we have to walk it out, and that's called a deeper experience with God, a deeper dealing with you. And so sometimes God wants to deal with you about a circumstance. And if you've had a problem in your life for 3 months, 6 months, a year or more, then maybe you ought to just stop and say, hey, okay, I've got a problem here. What are you trying to tell me, God? Let's you and I get in agreement so I can walk out of this thing. Yes, are demons involved in that? Sure. But God still says, I'm trying to do a deeper work in you. I'm trying to go at the root of the problem. I believe there's some truth to some spiritual parallels in the sense of the things that are happening in the natural realm. I believe that there's significant scriptural evidence to prove that there could be a spiritual parallel to the things that are happening in the natural. Well, if your hands, you were at home and you were working all week and you managed to get 4 or 5 bruises on your hands, all cut up, and immediately you step back and say, devil, get off my ministry. God has given me this ministry. Get off. So that would be easy to discern. But what about a gash in the head or a cut foot? Or a broken ankle? What about your covering, your walk, and your faith? Your arm, the wall, a tear, or a slice in the wall of the city could speak of a breach in the spirit. That's not even the subject for today. But getting you to think about a deeper walk with the Lord. Maybe He's doing a deeper dealing in your life. Remember, your liver purifies the blood. Having some liver problems? Have you ever considered searching the scriptures about blood? Purification? Your kidneys? Speak of washing the old, letting the new go through? Have you ever thought about looking at what the Bible says about the rain and your faith? I mean, you know, we have to consider these things as we explore that maybe God is trying to reveal to us in the last days that he's interested not only with the outward man, but he's more interested with the inward man. And that he is concerned that he has created you in his image, so he's concerned about your gallbladders too. So if somebody opened you up, they said, we're just going to take it out because it's useless. No, it's not. God's put that in there. You don't take it out of there. You don't volunteer to go somewhere and just have it removed. Now, I'm not going to go real left with this because I know people that went too far left with this understanding. Okay? That's not where I'm going, but I'm simply saying we need to begin a deeper relationship with the Lord, that means we need to search the Scriptures daily, okay, concerning the conditions that we are faced with in our lives. We must do it. You cannot make it upon my faith, okay? I think Howard Pippin and Brother Dean and I were talking. He was sharing me what Howard Pippin worked about the what they call it, the which spirit was that? Howard Pippin, beyond. I guess I better think. I don't know. Brother Dean heard me. The special spirit, and Brother Dean and I were discussing that this past week. And that special spirit that required prayer and fasting is simply an individual that can't pray or fast or can't work with you. They're bound. So it's going to take your faith to bring them out. Okay, so on the other hand, there are things that are going on in your life as well as in my life. We need to go a little bit further than thinking you can come up here and I can say, go! And that might happen. Nevertheless, it won't happen if God has placed a demon there and he wants you to walk it out. And he's trying to do some things in your life to bring you into a more of a perfection with him that he might be glorified. Does that make any sense? Okay. Now, if you're walking in unforgiveness, and unforgiveness is a real sneaky spirit, you'd be surprised because some of his friends are bitterness, anger. My God, there's several friends he has. Resentment, good jealousy. Thank you for the help. Appreciate it. So some of you have been delivered. Me too. By 3 years of October, I was reading one of Chris Simpson's books on bitterness. My God, in October, 4 years now, I mean, really, it made a change in my life. You say you were preaching deliverance, ministering around the country? Yes. And it was laying down there like a snake. And it took my wife saying things to me to make me realize that I love my wife. And it's getting this type of manifestation out of me. I better deal with this right quick because that's my best friend. Of course, as a friend, it's sticking closer than that. Okay. And so unforgiveness will hinder your deliverance. So if you're sitting out there now and there's anyone that you can think of that hurt or that has offended you and you haven't got over it, it's probably an unforgiveness spirit. If you see a certain individual like myself when I met Brother Dean 10, 12, 15 years ago, he reminded me of my uncle who told me, you'll never amount to anything. And I looked up there, and I'm already fighting the racial barrier. You know, this is back up early in the 70s or 80s. So I look at this man talking about Dean, and I said, man, he sure looked like my uncle. Boy, I had to get delivered. And every time he looked at me, I thought it was my uncle. You may not have that like that, but believe me, teachers could have offended you. I had several incidents with teachers in school because I was really a bad boy. I thought I knew so much because all my family were in education, and I didn't want to learn nothing, so I decided not to learn. So they stayed on me. Pow, pow. Didn't work. I had demons. And so we have to go back and ask God to say, Lord, is there anything there that I haven't allowed you to give you permission to work with me about? Because I've closed the door. Oh, no, I don't have any unforgiveness. When you say that, you close the door. Lord, I stay open to you. If there's anything in my life that is not of use, particularly in the area of unforgiveness, you have permission to reveal it. And when God says it's time to reveal it, it's because he thinks that, and he knows that you're able now to go through it and get the freedom. But what do we do when God wants to reveal a deeper work in our lives? We want to go tell somebody. And everybody want to be friends, so they want to smother it under the table. Leave it alone. God's going to take care of it. No, God said, I'm putting it up in the open. I brought the submarine up. The submarine has come up to the surface. Now I want you to deal with it. The problem is we think that we get our healing from individuals. If I had a problem with Brother Ben telling me he's sorry is not going to give me the healing I need. The Holy Spirit heals. So we're looking for comfort from man. When our comfort must come from God. And I think this is one of the biggest oppositions to receiving forgiveness. We think that people have to do certain things to make sure that we are positive that they have forgiven us. Or have forgiven, communicated with us to the point where we are sure that they have repented of the transgression against us. But our forgiveness only comes by the Holy Spirit. Now, we know in Matthew, Jesus spoke in Matthew, the sixth chapter. Let's look at that scripture. I mentioned a little bit about this in the Caribbean, and they didn't know who I was talking about. So when I mentioned E.F. Hutton to you today, I would assume that most of you know who E.F. Hutton is. And Ben had to holler out in the audience. He was sitting out there in the audience. Ben was sitting back in the platform, and he gave me the revelation of E.F. Hutton. And what was that revelation, Brother Ben? When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. When you have unforgiveness, God doesn't listen. Well, in Matthew, the sixth chapter, verse 12, Jesus said here, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Then he says in verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But he also says, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." So we have a question here. Does God hear us? Is God able to work with us and through us to bring necessary healings in our life if we have unconfessed unforgiveness in our life? And we know it. And I think that we can allude to the television commercial E.F. Hutton. And I believe he doesn't hear us. But he hears us when we walk in forgiveness. You say, "Well, I've forgiven everybody." Well, when I finish here today, maybe you haven't. We'll see. Only God knows. I don't know who all hurt or offended me in my life. But I ask God for love. I mean, I don't have to have a ministry. I don't have to preach. I don't have to be a pastor. Those things are not important to me. They're important to Him. I'm just a vessel that He's using. I think we start our ministry sometime in the wrong attitude. I never wanted to even be a pastor. And now I have oversee more than one assembly. I have men that have ministries under me in Africa, so I have bishops under bishops. And it's just sort of like one day we stood back and we saw it. I didn't. And there are people in my community going around grabbing all the churches, talking about we're going to form us a new clique here and I'm going to be y'all bishop. I'm the bishop, Bishop Landry. I'm not Bishop Landry. But the office is there. And we didn't do anything to try it. Let God build your ministry. Don't you try to build your ministry. Low is the way. Low is the way. God is working in deliverance in these last days like never before. Deliverance is a term that is applied to the casting out of demons. I believe that everybody's here because they want to learn more about deliverance. Amen? Jesus set the captives free. And he gave this commission to the early church. And they obeyed. Now, I know that over the years that it seems to have lost its sting, but I believe that over the years we can find that there were always little groups that believed Jesus. And they continued to be faithful. It seemed to be quiet during the dark ages, but there was work going on, quiet work. But now, all of a sudden, it's starting to get big and big. Sure, there's competition out there. There's other works out there. As Brother Don used to tell me, one of my friends that went to be with the Lord, that deliverance is the end-time ministry. Otherwise, most of the churches are just getting involved with NASA, and they're interested in going to the moon. So, we need to understand that we are at the foundation or the beginning of an exciting work that God is doing in the last days. It is absolutely the most exciting ministry. And it's the most simple ministry. And guess what? It will not interfere with the ministries that you already have. It will not interfere. We have been, as Christians, given the power over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19. To tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And God says in His Word, nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you. God has given us the power, the dunamis and exousia power, to engage the enemy in raging battles and direct confrontation. Now, Brother Dean spoke today on the other types of sovereign deliverance, but I'm going to speak a little bit today about confrontation. And I believe that the believer's ministry, we should have an attitude of fighting. Now, it doesn't take long to get an attitude of fighting. You get tired of what the devil's doing, you'll fight back. And you got your elder brother, Jesus, will assist you in every way necessary because he's in the business of seeing his people set free. Jesus came to set the people free. Now, many of us were prisoners at one time. We were prisoners, There's a saying, I'm an ex-military man. My father was captured in the war in Korea, and he doesn't like to talk about that, but I'm going to make him talk a little bit more in these last years to learn more about what really taken place, because he was contacted by this general up in Washington a few weeks ago to write an article about what took place there in the newspapers, because they were confronting this congressman. And war is bad. So a lot of things go wrong bad in war. But he was missing in action, and they managed to escape from underground, and he won't, I suppose he won't talk to me about it. But he will talk to me, because we will talk. Because I need to find out if there's some curses I need to break additionally. But you and I were all MIAs, missing in action. But the problem was we didn't know we was prisoners. So I hope you're not out there today and you are MIA, you know, when we have Jesus that came to set us free. So our Father desires each and every one of us delivered from evil spirits. Now, some of the notes and some of the things that I have are available on, and I can fax or email information to you if you like. But remember in Mark, the 7th chapter, where this non-Jewish woman came to Jesus, and she desired that her daughter be set free. She had manic depression, all kind of demonic oppressions in her brain, and she was just gone. And Jesus referred to her plea and granted her plea, but he referred to her plea by saying something like this earlier, that deliverance was for the children's bread. And so it's very clear today, after the cross Calvary, that deliverance is the children's bread. Now, so it is God's will for his church to begin a process of restoration and healing through the ministry of deliverance. So can you use deliverance on an unbeliever? Well, you can, but it's not advisable. We would not advise that. I did it one time, and it was not successful. I'm sorry I did it. I thought the person was, but I wasn't really sure. But I'm more sure now about when I do things. I just was going to help God out. You know how we do. And so deliverance is for us. And we get as much freedom as we minister to others. But the measure you give, the same you receive. So we get into an attitude that my ingrown toenail, my fungus in my toe, or my disability or whatever problem I'm having is more important than your neighbor's help or your brother and sisters in the ministry that are in the congregation that need help, then you're not going to be effective. You're going to have to realize that God will use it despite of some of the conditions that you have. And he's looking at you, and he's looking at how you're handling your situation, trusting him and having faith in God and willing to go forward and be in agreement with the other brothers and sisters in the congregation and pray for those that have need. And so I gave my life some years ago to the helps of others. I would not like to say how much that means to me, because I have been rebuked many times. But I don't have a problem with being a martyr for the Lord. Everybody wants me to stick around forever. I'll be here as long as the Lord wants me to be here. But the point is, I've given my life to God to use it to set the captives free. That means sometimes my family have went without. Why I sacrifice to help other people. My wife is with my grandchildren in another place. I'm here. There are many times that we have had to do things. My schedule consists of a 10-hour schedule, 4 days a week, and I work overtime. Right, Brother Ben? Overseeing two ministries in the local city within 15 miles apart. Monday night is generally my off night, but here lately has been counseling with people from other churches, and I'm not designing their memberships. Tuesday nights, I'm at Brother Dean for the last 12, 13 years for instruction on deliverance. Wednesday night, we have our regular fellowship. Thursday night, I'm either 15 miles in Silsby or 30 miles in Orange every week. Friday night, we do mass deliverance and counseling up to 12 or 1 in the morning. Saturdays, I now have my son at home who's cutting the grass. So I have time to relax a little bit and study. And then the service is on Sunday. So, yes, you can see the schedules and so forth. I'm not saying your schedule has to be that way. Oh, incidentally, you might want to read the book that the Lord put on my heart. It was brought to my attention. Somebody today came to me and said that someone else had written a book or similar. Well, I've never read it. I saw it back there by Win Worley. Slopping as a cow. I've never, ever read it. Okay? So that cleared that question up, because his brother came and asked me. So that cleared that up right quick. Now, I'm not saying that you will have to do as God has led me to do, okay? But this is what it's going to take, a total commitment and a total faithfulness in the Lord to see other people set free. God, he's looking for disciples. Disciples come to set the captives free through Jesus Christ. Now, there are many people who experience that demons cannot, or have the experience that demons cannot inhabit Christians. And we have found that people that generally have this belief are people that generally are not casting them out. If you get involved in casting out demons, I think we all would agree that it's very clear that, to agree that demons need deliverance. But there's that group that that don't believe that. So there are many excellent churches and other ministries in the nation that proclaim the word mightily. They pray for healings often. And they'll usually say something like, Satan, take your hands off of Brother Jim. Well, Satan, I'm going to tell you something. They don't object to this type of weak vocalizing. You must tell a demon to come out. You must say, go. Okay? You must command him out in Jesus' name. You don't say, just take your hands off of him. I'm going to tell you, that is a lack of knowledge and a boldness and a fear of what the congregations and the members of the Christian faith would say many times, that's hindering you and I and hindering many people who God is calling to the ministry of deliverance. A lot of pressure sometimes from the denomination. Most of us have faced that. And this will tend to prevent the pastor, the church, and the members from working the altars, casting out demons as Jesus has commanded every one of us to do. Now, I'm not saying anything unusual. I'm sort of kind of giving you an agreement. In other words, we know that we all are facing some of the same opposition. How do we handle the opposition is another thing. People are suffering year after year, going through many problems and sicknesses because they're not getting deliverance. And yet Jesus spent at least a third of his ministry, ministering to the body, teaching us deliverance. And yet, I don't know how they tend to have taken the ministry of deliverance out of the mainline church. Satan has worked his Jezebel Babylon religion into the system, and they have substituted the ministry of deliverance, and they have added in place of it their traditions. Now, this is going to be a little kind of different here. Cake sales, bake sales, rib day, anniversary, choir day, young ministry, old ministry, whatever. Okay. So that's meant to be a little bit of humor. Okay. So we have to pray that God is raising up truth in the last days, particularly at the ministries that we are involved in. Now, everything that we have received from the Lord, we have had to battle for it. You and I have had to battle for everything. Satan and his demons will always be there contesting you, for the right to the promises of God. In Deuteronomy, let's look at a few scriptures. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 1, the scripture says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley and vines, fig trees, pergamates, oh, I never could pronounce that, y'all forgive me, a land of olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. The spiritual parallel here is that Israel was to possess these Canaan lands that God had given them. They were going to be opposed by the giants of those lands. We, the church, also are to overcome the flesh, which speaks of the land. God wants our lands filled with the fullness of his promise. And who is the fullness of God's promise? Jesus. And so when there's an area in our life that we allow to be uncontested, in other words, we just have allowed ourselves to say, I'm going to just to live with this demon. I'm going to sleep with this demon. In other words, he's going to be my friend. That's what the demon wants you to do. He doesn't want you to believe that you can be free in a certain area. So if you got a congenital birth defect, he wants you to assume it's permanent. So he can say, I own this part of you. Our job as ministers is to teach you the word of God, faith, and trust in the Lord. But we have to move the enemy out of the camp, people. And you have to develop the attitude that you want to fight the good fight of faith also. We are to drive out the giants. I like what Brother Bill Smith said this morning about the five smooth stones. But let me also give you an additional thing about that. When David approached that first giant, David picked up those five stones. And I believe the Lord revealed this to me some time ago, that David's attitude was not only to take out Goliath, but David came in there with four other stones to take out the other four brothers. And it's our attitude should be the same, that when we start chasing down our enemy, we need to finish it. So that means you can't come to me and say, Brother Landry, I want to pray to get rid of these drug spirits, but I want to keep my alcohol spirits. I want to be delivered from cursing, but I don't mind feeling rejected because it gets me accepted by my peers. I like pity. I think there's a prophetic word in the book of Obadiah. Give me some time to get there in the Minor Prophets. In the book of Obadiah, actually from verse 17 all the way through, would be a tremendous revelation on the ministry of deliverance. But for the sake of time, and we do want to get some mass deliverance in the next, for sure, 30 minutes or less. In verse 21, God says, and saviors, with an S, shall come up on Mount Zion, speaks of the church, to judge the Mount of Esau, speaks of the flesh, and the kingdom shall be the Lord. I really believe this is one of the many areas where God is revealing the ministry of deliverance in the last days. The Lord is raising up deliverers. The word saviors here, it's also translated as deliverers. So I believe God is speaking of the deliverance ministry, the casting out of evil spirits. And I'd like to go over other verses in there, but for the sake of time. So many of the Christians you and I will minister to will be of the belief that the giants have all been removed to salvation. This is something that we're all going to long suffer through. It is part of our walk with the Lord. But I say certainly not. Those demons are just about in every crack and crevice that they can find, which includes not only the human race, but it includes the believers. They're there. And we've been given the name of Jesus. We've been given the Holy Spirit, God's Word, that we should go forth clearing the lands of these giants or demons, and we should begin with ourselves. And too many times we get saved, we make two meetings, and we're experts. Brother Dean will tell you, I've been under this brother, a fine brother and his wife for, I don't know how many years. I'll say 86 when Wynn Worley was there in 85, 86, 87. I don't know how many years, a long time. I've only ministered at his assembly maybe three times in that whole period of time. I think one time he left town a year or two ago and he said, you got it next week or whatever. We're going to have to learn how to submit to authority, not go somewhere trying to make ourselves a ministry. Go somewhere where we can be recognized. The demons love that. They'll let you even get in deliverance ministry for a while, and then you'll jump over to the wrong doctrine of the manifestation. Our brothers that went out of the deliverance ministry and now start believing that Satan now is going to be saved himself? Ultimate reconciliation. So these are some fine, fine people in the Lord that knew deliverance. I'm certain they know more than I do. Some kind of way they crossed. They crossed. So we got to humble ourselves. God will cause a gift in you and to use, and in time you will speak before maybe thousands, but that's not important right now. It's the person on the side of you getting free. Yourself, your family. People, God's got to work for all of us. In Deuteronomy, God spoke about, as the God's people were going into the promised land, that he said he would send hornets. And I think there are maybe four references in the scriptures that talk about the hornets in Deuteronomy, the seventh chapter. But particularly what God is saying here is that he was battling for us. It is his battle. And he wants to use us. I think it's something like sitting in the cockpit of a 747 on autopilot. And we just speak his word as he tells us what to do. That's what's going on. I'm not a great man of God. There are men that are greatly used, a lot more greatly used than me. But I doubt very seriously that their ministries are great in the sense of greater than Jesus. Jesus is the great man. He says in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 20, "Moreover, the Lord thy God will send a hornet among them until they that are left hide themselves from thee and be destroyed. And God tells them not to be affrighted of them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible." Now, what else does he say in verse 22? "The Lord thy God will put out those nations before you," whereas he's going to drive these evil spirits out of us little by little. "Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee." Little by little, the Lord will give us deliverance as much as we are able to walk in. I know you say, "Lord, more, more, Lord." I know. But it's as much as light as God is able to reveal to us. A number of times I've been challenged by Satan saying, "You have strong revelations." I've heard other people tell me, they devil told them, that they can get $1 million in a man or a woman, and they can move on. Just serve me. But a lot of times he tries to exalt me, because my strong man when I came into salvation was pride. You should know where you come from. David conquered pride. He fought the lion, the most proud beast in the land. He conquered the religious system. Nobody could tell him not to go do what he did. God told him to fight that giant and kill that giant. And the religious system speaks of the bear, hugs us into that tradition. We can't be loose. David conquered those demons before he was able to go do warfare. So if you hadn't conquered pride and religion, well, you need a little bit more prayer. You will. I'm certain that everybody here is no accident. I'll tell a young man the other day, "Brian," what little Brian? I said, "Brian, God sent you here." I said, "You came by yourself, 27 years old? I said, "God sent you here, young man." Because I tell you, there are people around the world right now trying to get here, and they care. They got all kind of opposition. So it's God that has done this for us. I'll tell you what, also, and as we look at what God is doing, he fills us with his Spirit. And so God is working with us, and the Holy Spirit is using a process of releases and promotions that are engineered and authorized by him, who works in conjunction with our will. So we have to get in agreement with God to get free. That means we can't ever let anything that we have in our life go unchecked. Like put it on the shelf and say, as Worley used to say, cafeteria it. You know, some of us like to go to the cafeteria, you know, what they call it, all you can eat. And you just pick what you want. "I'll have this, I'll have that. Oh, no, I don't have this, but I have that." Well, I've ministered to people, and many of the elders here have ministered to men and women and cast out homosexual spirits and individuals who have never, ever had a homosexual act that they know of. Now, I would like to get into a child abuse for a moment, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to deal with that one. Because I know my sister, I know she got some real strong knowledge on that area. But the point is that there is a number of areas in our life where God wants to work, and he wants us to be in agreement with him as he goes down into the deeper areas of our life and allows these things to surface, but we need to be in agreement with him to get the freedom that he wants. Okay, so I've got to obey God, because he's not going to give me the revelation of what I was saying unless I obey. Okay. Now, for instance, many of us are suffering from rejection. And I'm going to tell you something, the devil hates this message above all the messages. There are individuals that should have been here that the devil told them to get out, and they obeyed. Because rejection, it is a foul spirit. It is an unclean spirit that comes to keep us from having fellowship with our God. And that, I'm going to tell you, I've worked a lot with a group that I put together as the Lord led me a year ago in dealing with child abuse. We had an individual, a person that was an elder, sitting on the front row, and he would just take his jacket and place it over the little girl. And during the service, he would thunder her through the whole service. And then, when the parents took her to school, he would go to school and drive up behind them and called the little girl. She'd jump in the car, and then he would take her to some disclosed place. And after he finished doing what he did, okay, masturbating, basically using her body, then he would clean her up and clean himself up and drop the child up. We need to be careful how we entrust our children to other people. Now, you know what he told Sergeant Davis, a friend of mine, and the rest of the people? I had an affair with her. Part of your old buzzard. Okay. Now, this is what the demons are doing, these pedophile spirits are doing. And so we need to be very careful because we think that our children can't be abused because we didn't see any blood. But when a child is born, up to 18 months, the estrogen from the mother is in that baby girl. And she can take a full penetration. Now, it was one case where a young lady walked in the house from the store and the husband had the baby on the counter, 3 days old. And he had a penetration inside the baby. She snatched the baby up and ran into the emergency room. He said the hymen wasn't torn? No. Full width, estrogen, stretched out wide, and it usually leaves after 2 years and comes back around 13 to 14 again. That's why when you start washing your little baby, they don't hurt. And all of a sudden, about 2 or 3 of them, they said, no, no, mama, no. Because now the sensitivity is returned because the estrogen is gone. And so you got people in nursery schools and in churches penetrating your child. You say, well, I ain't no semen in there because they're perverts. They don't normally ejaculate in the child. They don't. That's not what they're doing. It's a power thing. Now, I haven't said that. If you want to know more about that, you might want to call or write us. All right, so maybe the Lord will give me my memory back here because I lost it for a second there. He said, you better say something. In Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 25, God tells us he hates idolatry. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest thou be cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Now, most of us are here, a lot of us are here for the first time, and we're going to learn by purchasing books, those that have shared with you and those that have invited you. You're going to begin to learn what are some additional things that God hates as far as things that we might bring in our home. First, God doesn't like us to make ourselves a God, the kingdom of self. And we have been dealt with that blow from very young children. All the way up through our structure of our life, we get into a point where we are to be told what to do. And we are placed in categories based on our accomplishments. You're an A, you're a B, you're a C. And so all the way through our life, we deal with this pattern of idolatry. And so now God is telling us that thou shalt have no other gods before him. Now, in addition to this, for the sake of time, we can't go into every detail, but there are things that we can bring in our home that could bring curses in our home. And that's just a lot of material here that we could buy, $2, $3 pamphlets and books that sort of kind of outline some of the material such as Mexican chess sets that got the Aztec gods. Chimes. I went to visit a friend up here a few days ago, and right at the front door of his assembly, there's some chimes, and I said, Lord, I got to get with him and talk a little bit about those good spirits that somebody thinks they invited to protect his church. And there are good luck charms, and rabbit's foot, and the list just go on and on, and crystals, and I was teaching here 2 years ago, and I mean, I went to the back and we were just worshiping the Lord, and this person came up to me and said, you stepped all over me. I said, huh? I thought they was playing, you know. So they said it again. Said, you stepped all over me. Talking about the crystals and all that. I say, oh, my God. I say, okay, I'm under attack. So I said, okay, I'm sorry. And I walked up to another seat and got me another seat. Because then I realized that this particular doctor was upset. Not doctor of medicine, doctor of New Age. There's something wrong. Okay, yes, that's right. So it was something wrong. So people want to hold on to their gods. And so God has not called us to have Jesus and something else. Jesus and crystals. Jesus and garlic balls. Jesus and I got to remember a message, so I tie a ribbon around my little finger. Interesting. So God hates these graven images, as he was telling his people to go into the promised land. What about our life? Are there some images in within us that needs to be tested by the fire of God's word? So we need to start searching the scriptures, reading God's word, because God definitely desires to refine us. He definitely desires to purify us, because he is definitely coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And I believe this means that there's still work left to be done in each of us. Amen? Now, in Numbers, the 33rd chapter, God gives the command again as they're about to approach the promised land. Numbers 33, verse 50. The scripture says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, you shall drive out the inhabitants of the land before you and destroy all of their pictures, destroy all of their molten images, and quite pluck down all of their high places." Why am I saying all this, okay? This is a parallel to your ministry today in deliverance, and hopefully we could have enough time to give you a little bit more understanding of that area, as God is the one that will give you the revelations. He tells them, "And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and that dwell there, and dwell there in yourself, for I have given you the land to possess it." God gives the command to his people here as they're approaching this promised land, a land filled with giants, nevertheless a land filled with milk and honey, being heavily contested for the right to these promises. He gives them the command to drive out A-L-L, all of the inhabitants, every one of them, people. He did not say make friends with these inhabitants, as I think Brother Dean was mentioned earlier, or maybe Bill Smith was mentioned earlier, that he didn't ask us to control them as we do in our American culture. We control AAA. We try to control the people. We try to control them with drug programs. But he said for to drive them out. That means drive out the giants, which speaks of today, drive out the demons. Now, in the battles that were set forth in the Old Testament were flesh against flesh. The battles we fight against are against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, where are the inhabitants that we fight today? All right. Who are the inhabitants that we fight today then? Okay, they are evil spirits. We're fighting against evil spirits, demons, and we are commanded by scriptures to drive them out. That means we are not to make friends with them. Too much of the church right now are in a friendly relationship with their demons. They're in compromise with the demons, but I will guarantee you that the demons are not in friendship with you. Your enemy is not in friendship with you. He's looking for and waiting for the opportunity to take you out, and he wants your agreement. In Numbers, the verse 55, it says, "But if you shall not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes, thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell." That's an awesome revelation. "Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them." How many understand that there were from time to time rebellion in the camp of Israel? Sure, there was rebellion. And no differently today. There's rebellion in the church. Many have added to the book. Many have taken away the words of God's book. They have substituted their traditions in the place of deliverance. And once again, they are at peace with their enemy. But their enemy is not at peace with them. We have a responsibility as believers to practice the ministry of deliverance. I have that responsibility. Or we may suffer unnecessarily in our bodies and minds due to the rebellion to the commandments of God. For the church to properly minister spiritual warfare, we need to be prepared. So this is what we're here for preparation. We need to discern the word of God spiritually. There's a preparation for spiritual warfare. We should begin by searching the scriptures daily. And you'll hear me say this often because I believe this is necessary. Having our minds renewed, the mind, that's where most of the warfare is taking place. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 18. 4:18. "Why we look not at the things which are seen,
But if the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What are we about here? Are we interested in eternal things? Yes.
Two types of seen. There are the seen and the not seen. The visible realm represents the temporal realm. The not seen, or the invisible, represents the eternal realm. The invisible things are truly the real and eternal things of God. We must begin to scripture studies and put to death our old way of seeing things. We must begin to take on the mind of the Lord, learn to mind the things of the Lord, and begin to take in the things that are eternal. This is what God wants for us, as an eternal relationship, that we might know those things that are eternal. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 5, let's turn there for a second here. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Therefore, when a believer walks in the flesh, they will look at the problems, and they will not look at God's words and God's promises. This type of individual will only see in the visible realm, which is the realm of sight. They have no spiritual discernment, because they are operating in the flesh and they are operating by their senses. They discern not the presence of evil spirits working, nor do they have light to see evil spirits in light of the Scripture, because they are working in a carnality." We must pray for spiritual understanding, for spiritual discernment. Now, the realm of sight, the Lord says, is a temporal realm. It's the temporal things that occur in our life that bring about divorces, bring about fighting, brings about divisions, schisms in the body, and it sets the stage for much demonic oppression. The Word of God says that the invisible things are truly the real and eternal things. We really need to change the way that we are looking at the Word of God and what God is revealing to us. Earlier, I think it was Brother Bill mentioned about that we need to come to the feet of Jesus. I was thinking when he said that, the story of Martha and Mary, and how Martha came to Jesus and said, "Master, look at my sister. I have work here. I'm trying to prepare for you." And she began to complain and murmur to Jesus about her sister, who had taken her position at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus told her that she was very, very worried. And she had a lot of things on her mind, but that her sister Mary had chosen the good part. As we embark on the ministry of deliverance, we must take on the good part, which is the Word of God. You have no choice. You must get into the Word of God. You can't have a sparingly type or relationship with God and His Word. His Word and His Spirit of one, we must get into the Word of God. Amen? In the book of Mark, the 15th chapter, let's look there. Lord, give me more revelation. What do you want? In Mark, the 15th chapter, verse 7, it says, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him who you call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil had he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, whom he had scourged him, to be crucified. People, this is what's taking place today. Many places have rejected Jesus, and spirits of Barabbas are being released. Whom would you have be released to you today? Maybe you're a little uncomfortable with deliverance. Maybe you are not in agreement. Maybe you're just out there because you're here and the bus leaves Monday. I certainly hope that everybody here, because they want to be here. But whom would you desire that I release to you? Barabbas or Jesus? Well, then we are to obey the commandments and be cleansed and get involved in the commitment of discipleship. Now, as you get involved in deliverance, God's going to give you enough victories to keep you going. But there's going to be some defeats, to keep you honest. It's all about what He's doing. So now you're embarking on a serious work now. Now, it's not the kind of work that make you popular. In fact, you may be singled out in the community as being somewhat indifferent. You'll learn long-suffering like never before.
You'll learn patience like never before. And you'll have so many people that you'll see God heal and deliver. And you say it's worth all of it. I believe in Matthew, the 12th chapter, Jesus says, Matthew 12:28, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you." So it is very clear that the casting out of evil spirits is a demonstration that the kingdom of God is present. That's awesome. That God has placed us in this type of work. In Mark, the 16th chapter, where Jesus was giving a commission, 16, verse 17, he says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils," right? "They shall speak with new tongues." Let me just go over to 18 and say, "And they shall take up serpents." People, take up serpents. It speaks of a radical move here, grabbing, snatching, pulling out. It's an attitude of warfare. It's an attitude, people. He says, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And that's speaking of a supernatural recovery. So is all sickness demons? Well, I don't know. But I do know that the demons certainly come there to assist it. And I do know that when in doubt, cast it out. So if you're ministering to somebody and they have been diagnosed and the doctor told them this is something that's very rare and normally is never in this part of the region, in our city they only had maybe two instances of something like this. You normally find this in the Orient or in Russia. It's a demon, most likely. And at the root of that problem is a curse. Does that make sense? So doctors can be very helpful to us. As Paul was making his departure from the church of Ephesus, he came to the church of Ephesus and he gave him his report. We ought to also have a report. We should be prepared to give a report of our work and our ministry. He knew that grievous wolves would come in and try to destroy the work. He mentioned to them that he had not forsaken to give them all the counsel of God. And I'm certain that all the counsel of God included the casting out of evil spirits. It is part of the gospel message. It's not all of it. As I said before, it would not interfere with your song service ministries and your word of faith ministries and all of those things. And I make not light of it. It's very important. It is awesome. But people without deliverance, I seriously question the effectiveness of your calling. So this is why we're here. We're here because God wants to bring us, and he wants us to walk in that demonstration of his spirit and his power as Paul walked in. God wants us to walk in that. So people are going to church weekly, twice a week, month after month, year after year, never experience a miracle of God. They never experience deliverance take place. So then we got a group of people that are going to the private prayer meeting. We're over here because our pastor won't let us do that. It might be more advisable that you go to him or separate and find a place where he's doing it, because we need to do things decently in order. I've seen so much problems in these little groups because they don't realize that they have to separate. It's difficult to be under a group that doesn't believe. And you say, "Well, there's nobody in my city." Not true. You are somebody, and believe me, God's got a witness. He never leaves us without a witness. You just need to find it. It's there. He never leaves us without a witness. I'm telling you, it's there. It's there. They attend church. They grow up in the church year after year into adulthood. They never witness a miracle. And if you're in a fellowship like this, there's generally no power. It doesn't matter how eloquent that the preacher may be able to deliver the message. No discernment, if any. I believe discernment is so important in the ministry of deliverance, because practically everyone that we work with and everyone that you will work with are not trying to hide anything from you. They simply do not know how to convey to you their problem. So they tend to give you the problem from the surface, what they're feeling. And so it is your responsibility to listen to the Holy Spirit to say, "Lord, what's the root of this problem?" We must begin a root work. That is so important in the ministry of deliverance. We're doing too much surface work. I started out like most of you years ago, making a sign of the cross, drank the oil, 7 drops, flush out with water, 2 X-lax or whatever, you know. Whatever gets the swelling down in the stomach, I guess. But we did it all. We did it. God had mercy. And I thank God it was in a close little group so it didn't get, national, But I think God now is putting an end to this, and he's raising up pastors, and he's raising up elders and believers from all over the world with the knowledge of deliverance. And you'll get the measure and the knowledge of deliverance that God wants you to have if you're designed to learn it. That means you have to be teachable. You must submit to authority to be an authority.
I thank God for Brother Dean mentioning that there's a, if you're not attached anywhere, you might consider this ministry here. And people, that's more to deliver than placing the crucifix on somebody's head, throwing some holy water on them, making them drink tons of oil. And I saw on TV one time somebody had a wooden cross, and they did like this. The man went, ah! Well, they didn't cast a demon out. So what was the point? The only reason they manifest or demons is up because he's going to get out. We're not putting on no show for national TV. If a demon manifests, that's because he has been revealed. God has raised him up. Now it's time for get him out. This is not no play. This is nothing to play about. Jesus went into the temple and the money changers were doing what they want to do. I'm not going to go into the teaching on the money changers, but we still know this is existing today. But the point is that he threw them out, and then he called for all the sick and the lame, and he healed them out and healed them all. And so this is what ought to be happening in our life. We ought to be giving our life away from idolatry. And as Jesus has come in our lives, we ought to be receiving the healings that Jesus wants us to have in our life. Amen? Now, Jesus gave power to the church. You're that church. So, when an individual is having problems, generally, deliverance workers immediately suspect the presence of demons when individuals come to them with certain problems. Many people are full of guilt. They go to the prayer lines. They pray for deliverance, and they don't receive the deliverance. So, what they do, they go home and get a suicide spirit. Well, Lord, I just accept what I have. I'm not going to be healed. Or they get embarrassed, and they're tired of going to the prayer lines because they keep getting prayed for and they never get free. A lot of deliverance is counseling. We must take time out sometimes to sit down with people and share with them the gospel. Share love with them so we can get to the root of the problems, right? Now, finally, deliverance is no substitution for the crucifying of the flesh. You must crucify your flesh. You can't cast the flesh out. Okay? All right. It's no substitution for unforgiveness. You got unforgiveness, you got to forgive. It's no substitution for repentance. You must repent. You must walk in self-discipline. You must study the Word of God. You must pray. You must minister to God. Deliverance has its place, but it's not all of it. But it sure is a lot. It sure is important in God's overall plan. But it's not all of it. So don't try to cast the flesh out. Now, there are going to be people coming against you like they came against Jesus. They came to him and said, Herod, say for you to get out of here. Jesus told him, you go tell that fox I'm going to cast out devils today, tomorrow, and the third day I shall be finished. Now, that's another revelation behind that. But for the sake of simplicity, let me just say like this. There are going to be foxes coming against you. And what does foxes do? They spoil the vine. So you're not any better than Jesus. So if you think you're not going to receive opposition, you're mistaken. You're greatly mistaken. And let me say this. In John, the 12th chapter, we need to get into some deliverance. I'm trying to say a few things that maybe help you and encourage you in the ministry of deliverance. I trust that God has given us what he would have for us for this hour. That's much more. I'm so bubbling over right now with something to say. You know, and so the Lord had me bounce around and say a number of things. So I hope that everybody got something out of it. And let me leave you in Scripture with this. In John, the 14th chapter, verse 12, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. People, I know that there are a lot of good works out there, a lot of ministry going forward, but how can we be doing a greater works when we haven't done the very same works that Jesus did? You've been brought here because you desire to do a greater work for God. You know he said in his word that you shall do a greater work. So you're here to learn ministry, to balance your ministry. You're here to fulfill prophecy. God's going to give you the greater works because you'll learn how to do the same works. And before we can have a greater work, God has brought you here to learn the same works. That is so awesome, huh? That is awesome. You are just truly blessed. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Deliverance is the children's bread. There's different types of areas of ministry and deliverance. People are going to come and ask you for help. Don't hold back from calling and the elders and getting information. Read the extra material that God has
placed on many of the ministers' hearts to write. But whatever you do, remember this. I had one of the elders call me from another city at the other assembly and say, Pastor Landry, I need to get the red book. We need to go over the manual and everything. I got these people I need to work with. And show me what I need to do in all this. I said, nah. You've got enough already in you. I can't be there with you. And this is all we have to remember, that Jesus is Lord. And you've been given the keys of the kingdom. And what he's given you, that's enough. You bind those spirits, you command those demons to come out, you counsel those people, and you trust Jesus Christ. Many times you look at me and some of the material I have and things I have. And we can hinder people like that. So, as you begin to grow, God's going to give you much of the information that I'm sharing with you in the deliverance prayers, renunciation prayers. You'll have them memorized. You won't have to read them, per se. But until that time comes, don't feel uncomfortable or ashamed. Don't let the demon put shame on you to go literally over the renunciation prayers. And if you don't have any, then email us, and I'll email it or fax it to you. Or you can get it from the camp. But we must tear down the works of the enemy. We must cast out the demons in Jesus' name. So what I'm going to do is lead you to some renunciation prayers. It'll take a few minutes, and then we're going to cast out some devils, and we're going to get some freedom. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I hope something was said to encourage you, because it's the believer's ministry. Every one of you are commissioned to do warfare.
Amen.
Believe me. So will you repeat after me? Dear Lord,
with honesty of heart,
and humility of soul,
and conviction of spirit,
do I make this following confession? I've sinned against you
and
have disobeyed your word,
whether it be through
willfulness, ignorance,
or curiosity.
And I now repent of these sins.
Ask you to forgive me
through the blood of Jesus Christ.
But by an act of my will,
and in the name of Jesus,
I close all those doors
which I have opened to Satan.
And I now ask you,
dear Lord,
to help me
renounce all of these things
and cleanse me
in body,
soul,
and spirit
in Jesus' name.
Now, God hates the occult. Every hidden, unseen thing, all of the occult realm, he hates it. And very few of us have not been contaminated by it. Some of us may be generational Christians. That is wonderful. But very few of us have not been contaminated by it, even in the schools. They force us, even as young children, to play Halloween, Valentine. So you might think you got over, but hey, the school district is working behind the scenes. So everybody needs to renounce these things. We're going to renounce the occult realm. And that means generational as well as our own participation. Amen? In the name of Jesus Christ,
I renounce the following.
I renounce the occult.
I renounce witchcraft
and magic,
both black and white.
I renounce all seances,
clairvoyance,
mediums,
contact with familiar spirits,
and the belief of UFOs.
I renounce Ouija boards
and all other occult games.
I renounce all fortune telling,
palm reading,
tea leaf reading,
crystal balls,
tarot,
and other card layings,
and pendulum.
I renounce all astrology
and
interest
in the horoscope
and the signs of the zodiac.
I renounce the heresy
of reincarnation
and all healing groups
involved in metaphysics.
I renounce all hypnosis.
I don't mean to stop you, but so we can help the demons out a little bit. All of you have been to dentists, most of you. I don't know too many dentists that have been trained in hypnotizing. Because if you can't take anesthesia, they can put you to sleep. So maybe that might stir you up to saying, yes, okay, get it. Let's try it again.
I renounce all hypnosis.
Mind reading,
mind
control,
second sight,
ESP,
EST,
and parapsychology.
I renounce water witching, levitation, body lifting, table tipping, psychometric, and automatic writing, and drawing, and composing. I renounce astral projection, soul travel, thought projection, other demonic skills. I renounce all mind control, power of positive thinking, positive control salesmanship, and demonic power to impose my will on others. You ever told somebody, oh, I can think, I know exactly what you're thinking about. I can just read your mind. I renounce all sorcery, dependence upon talisman, such as St. Christopher medals, Mary medallions, good luck charms, rabbit's foot, four leaf clovers, wishbones, potions, amulets, and I vow that I will destroy any that are on my person or under my control. I vow I will destroy any foreign gods, such as Buddhas, Mexican sun gods, signs of the zodiac, American Indian dolls, voodoo dolls, Egyptian ark, pentagram, or other abominations on my person or under my control. And I assure you, God will reveal those to you because you mean this, and I know He knows. He's going to reveal them. You say, well, it's nothing like that in my house. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I remember, we talk about sweeping my house often. I remember one time I found Hansel and Gretel. They said, well, Hansel and Gretel, which one? No, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And one of my children was very, very small in size. And her mama liked cartoons and were watching, reading that kind of junk and old movies. And he was very small in stature. I had another brother was like that. He played soccer. He went on to play for the university. And I broke that curse off. And that boy, he don't even know what happened because he's not walking with the Lord yet. You know, I'm hoping for him. But, you know, they all come when they need help. You know, they know the doctors can't help them. They need Jesus first. And so God will reveal to you the things that are in your home that are abominations. So you must ask Him to reveal it to you because it may be on some clothing apparel. May be hidden in the imprint of a picture or on a wall. It could be any number of things. So we have to trust God to reveal to us those things so we can get them out of our possessions and out of our homes. I renounce all literature I have ever read in any of these fields and vow that I will destroy such books in my own possession. I will also destroy any objects, pictures, signs, statues, jewelry, charts, which are on my person or in my house. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the following. I break all curses, hexes, spells, jinxes, vexes, and charms placed on me from any occult source. I break the curse of illegitimacy. 10 generations back, off my family line. I break the curse of incest. 25 generations, from off my family line. I break the curse of idolatry. Off my family line. Renouncing the oaths I or my ancestors ever made to any false gods, idols, false cults, or false religion. I renounce any initiation rites to any clubs, brotherhoods, lodges, fraternities, sororities, or orders, which is of a demonic or witchcraft origin. I break all demonic subjection, demonic soul ties, or bondages to my mother, father, grandparents, spouses, ex-spouses, or any other human being, living or dead, who has ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I break all curses of psychic heredity,
and any demonic hold upon my family line as a result of the disobedience of any of my ancestors, spouse or ex-spouses. I break any curses of physical or mental illness off my family line. I break any curse on me or my family from the occult or demonic origin. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce every cult that denies the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, every philosophy that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I've committed sexual sins in the past, and I repent of these and ask for forgiveness. Lord, I have another confession to make. I've not loved, but I've resented certain people. I confess this is sin. And I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. Just a moment here. Let's take out a moment and see if the Holy Spirit will stir up some individuals in our hearts and minds that maybe disappointed us, treated us bad, relative, friend, somebody slammed our change down at the cash register. And just speak it out to him. And say, Lord, I forgive so-and-so, whoever. People's hurt us at our jobs. Now you need to ask the Lord to bless them. Thank you, Lord. If in days to come you show me others, I'll quickly forgive them and bless them in the name of Jesus. I do now forgive myself. In my mind, I was saying, that's the hardest thing for you to do, Jim. And I start coughing. That was the most difficult thing for me to do. Yes, I was a very bad boy. And even as I got into the Lord, I mean, one of the elders had to tell me, you have no right to judge another man's servant. You're God's servant. Why are you so hard on yourself? And immediately I started getting some deliverance. Amen? Well, I hope that sets the stage, because I'm certain that some of you are going to be really, really surprised what God is going to do. Let's go. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and arose from the dead. You redeemed me by your blood, and I belong to you. I want to live for you. I confess all of my sins, known and unknown. I'm sorry for them all. I renounce them all. Now I come to you as my deliverer, Lord Jesus, claiming a promise that whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. You know my special needs, the thing that binds, torments, defiles, that evil spirit. And I call upon you now, Lord Jesus, to deliver me and set me free. Satan, I renounce you and all your works. I loose myself from you in the name of Jesus. And I command you to leave me right now. Now, I'm going to take authority, and I'm going to ask that you will not say anything, but if you want to agree with me, agree in the name of Jesus in your minds. Try not to say anything, because a lot of times spirits come out, the word spirit, breath, synonymous, pneuma, it all speaks to that. Many times the spirits will come out through the air passages. I don't know if we have any spray in here, but at our center we usually keep several cans of spray around. They tend to find any opening or cavity in the body to come out, so I want you to try to stay focused on what we're doing. Have your mind in agreement with us. We command the spirits to come out of you in Jesus' name. I will assign workers, or Brother Glenn will assign workers. They already have a team of workers. We don't want you to get involved in the work unless we call upon you. But we don't want you to miss your deliverance. So many times we come to help, and we don't get any help. Praise the Lord. So we ask that you remain in your seat, lest we ask you to help out. Just agree with us. If he's in there, the nasty thing is coming out. The key is that he's going to go, because God says you got to go. So I'm going to take authority, because you would agree with me, and I'm going to bind the strong man. Amen? So, Father, in Jesus' name, I bind Satan and his demons in the heavenlies and on earth, and I loose this deliverance session from Satan and his demons in the heavenlies and on earth. I bind Satan and his demons in the heavenlies and on earth, and I forbid him to communicate with or reinforce any demons inside of any person present, those that are willing and agreeing. I bind every strong man, every evil power, ruling spirit over each person's house in the present. I loose each person's house from the strong man. I forbid the strong man over each person to communicate with or reinforce any spirits inside of each person's house. I remind you, my weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down the strongholds. I'm not going to fight you in the flesh. I take authority over evil power and evil strength. Bind you in Jesus' name. Now, over every person present, in Jesus' name, I break every ancestral curse over your life. I break them. As Dr. Noe mentioned the other day, sometimes it's one behind one, it's 1,000 spirits. So I break it. All ancestral curses. I break them in Jesus' name. Thousands in Jesus' name. I break them over your life. I break every direct curse that has spoken against you in Jesus' name. Like, Jacob spoke a direct curse on Leah or Rebecca, and her baby died. Whoever had these gods, they shall die. That's an indirect curse. That's a direct and an indirect. So I break those direct curses that have spoken over your life. You nincompoop, you numbskull, you never amount to anything, dumb as a skunk. I break it in Jesus' name. I break those things 1,000 times. 1,000 times 1,000. Whatever God wants over your life, I break those curses in Jesus' name. I break all indirect curses that have been spoken against you, where you have assisted somebody in an abortion when you was a young person. Yeah, I think you ought to get an abortion. You got a curse. They got a curse. You got an indirect curse. They got a direct curse. I break those indirect curses. I break them. I break those curses over our lives in Jesus' name. Every self-inflicted curse. Well, we personally put it that time of the month, that time of the year, I better load up my medicine clock. I know I'm going to get sinus. I break it. All those self-inflicted curses. I break it in Jesus' name. I'm sorry to be so dramatic up here, but I want you to get to see the point here. It's that we want to break those curses, and multiple spirits behind the curses. Amen? I break it in Jesus' name. Now, every curse on any living or non-living entity in your life, I break them. I break those curses in Jesus' name. I break all curses of compromise, negotiations, not moving out, holding back. I break those multiple curses and the multiple spirits behind those curses. I break them in Jesus' name. You and I have been sealed. Satan has a seal. I break the satanic seals over your life. I break them in Jesus' name. The demons know what I'm doing. They're going to go. I break them in Jesus' name. I break the satanic protective shields over your life. We've been given a shield. Satan has a shield. I break those satanic shields over our lives. I break them in Jesus' name. I break them in Jesus' name. I break every one of those satanic protective shields. The satanic prayers, which are psychic prayers. For instance, this is the month of May. We're still in May. This is the month that the Catholics pray for all those who backslid. Thank you. I was a Catholic. Okay, no problem. But I mean, I backslid. All right, from that faith. But this is the month that they intercede for you. So if you're having headaches, it might be because of that. I've had several mild ones this month. So we're still getting some deliverance. I break those psychic prayers, the satanic prayers prayed over your life. I break them in Jesus' name. I break those psychic prayers. I break all ties with the evil past. All ties in our lives with the evil past. I break them. You know, you get soul ties with your chihuahuas, soul ties with that special fish you had in the aquarium, soul ties with all kinds of things, animals, dogs, people. You need to break those ties with the evil past. Break them. Everybody want to talk about how bad it was out there in the world. Man, I used to do more drugs than you, huh? I break those ties with the evil past. I break them in Jesus' name. Break all ties with living and non-living entities. I break them in Jesus' name. Now breaking all the curses, the seals, the shields, the prayers, and the ties to command all the demons, come up in Jesus' name. Now break the ties between those spirits. I break them in Jesus' name. I cut all the supports of those evil spirits in Jesus' name. Cut all the roots of the spirits. Break all remaining holds of all demons. Sever all relationships with low-life spirits, no-name spirits, and any other supporting spirit here, I sever it this hour in Jesus' name. Now, over every person present in Jesus' name, I break all satanic wishes that have been ever over the last 25 generations down your family line. I break every satanic wish. I break all satanic dedication where you've been dedicated to Satan or to Lucifer. I break that in Jesus. I break all blood covenants through your family line on your lives, whether directly or indirectly. I break them in Jesus' name. I break all blood sacrifices in your family line that's coming against you in Jesus. I break them. I break all satanic declarations over your family line, over the generations, and over you. I break them. All satanic assignments in your life. I break them in Jesus' name. All satanic schemes over your life, generational and now. I break them in Jesus' name. I break all satanic designs over your life. I break them in Jesus' name. I'm breaking all the hexes, vexes, spells, jinxes, charms, enchantments, rituals, and any other bunch associated with witchcraft in Jesus' name. I break it. The occult, voodoo, come out of there. Caribbean witchcraft, Santerias, the Orishas, all evil oppression and satanic oppression in Jesus' name. I break your power in Jesus' name. I break your power in Jesus' name. Now, demons generally will enter persons indulging in street or medical drugs. These demons will assume the name of those individual drugs. And so, in deliverance, the spirits respond to many times the substance name or the common slang names for the drugs. For instance, many of us were involved in the drug market. We smoke marijuana, pot. So I'm going to begin calling a series of names from way back when you used to do this junk. Whether it be street medication or medications that were prescribed by doctors that were hallucinogenic. Okay, so I come against the spirits of marijuana. Come out of us in Jesus' name. You demon of marijuana, you come out of us in Jesus' name. I break your power. The scripture says, if I cast out demons, I cast them out with the finger of God. And so, Lord, I just command these demons. Who are they to resist the name of Jesus? They have no authority. You must come out and you must go in Jesus' name. So I command the spirit of marijuana, come out of there. Pot, come out. Grass, dope, wheat, come out of there. Joint, come out of there. Come out of there. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Come out of there. PCP, come out of there. Angel dust, crystal, tea, come out of there. Infirmities, come out. All infirmities, come out. Uppers, speed, come out of there, demons. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Coke, crack, yellow jackets, come out of there. Dolly, acid, peyote, magic, mushrooms, and mushroom tea. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Quaalude, smack. Come out of there, Black Molly, Yellow Molly, and all the other ones. Come out of there. Come out of there in Jesus' name. These drugs affect our behavior. They will affect your behavior. So I'm going to come against the behavior spirits in Jesus' name. Now, the spirits that cause the abrupt mood changes. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Anxiety causes us to be anxious and argumentative. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out, demon. Come out of there. Changes in grooming and appearance and confusion. Come out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Craving for drugs. Deception, decreased performance, and depression. Come out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All the spirits of death, death by overdose. Come out. Come out. Diminished sound, taste, touch and smell sensation. Come out of there. Decreased perception. Come out of there. Come out. Despair, desperation, disorientation. Come out. All these demons from back in the 60s, back in the 50s, in the 70s, in the 80s, all the way up to now. Come out of there. All the spirits that cause distortion of time. I don't know what happened. Space, come out of there. Driven to drugs. Spirits of drowsiness. Drunken behavior, come out. Come out. In the spirits of excessive laughter, come out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. False confidence, come out of there. Come out of there. All the spirits of fear, come out. Feeling of weightlessness. Forgetfulness. Forgetfulness in your conversations. Those blackouts, come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits of hallucination. Flashbacks, days, years. And months that have been lost because of the drug dose. Come out of there. Come out of there. High. Demonic high. Hypersensitivity. Spirits of illusions. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out. Impaired performance. Come out. Impaired judgment. Impaired thinking. Come out. Impaired speech. Come out of there in Jesus' name. All impaired taste. Impaired touch and impaired hearing. Come out of there. Come out of there. Inability to concentrate. Block concentration. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out, demons. Spirits that make you feel have a feeling of inadequacy. Come out. Come out of there. Spirits of intoxication. Come out of there. Irritating thinking. Irresponsibility. Lethargic. Come out of there. Lying. And all the mood swings. Mood swings. Come out of there. Attitude changes. Ecstasy to horror. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Good trip to a bad trip. Passive to violence. And moodiness. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Come out, demons. Lack of motivation. Come out of there. Loss of depth and time perception. Loss of control over emotions. Come out. Come out of here. We're spoiling your house. We're bound to straw man. We're spoiling your house. There's nothing you can do about it, demons. We're spoiling your house. A stronger is here. A greater is here. You demons have to go. How can you first bind the straw man? Let's just first bind the straw man and spoil his goods, excuse me. So we're spoiling your goods. So you have to go, demons. Loss of interest in food. Come out. Loss of interest in sleep. Come out, spirits of nervousness. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Panic attack, paranoid. Come out of there. Poor perception, poor coordination, poor muscle control. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Come out of there. Being preoccupied with death. Preoccupied with thinking about suicide. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All the sleep problems. Sleep problems associated with past drug use. Come out of there. Suicide wish. Suicide. Come out of there. Violence. Now the spirit of witchcraft. Come out. Come out, you demon of witchcraft. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Rule of witchcraft. Come out of them. Control of witchcraft. Control of rule of witchcraft. And all of the supervisory spirits that deal with witchcraft, come out of there. Come out of there. Now these spirits, these drugs have an effect on the bodies. So I'm going to come against those spirits that have an effect on the bodies now. Addiction. Demon of addiction. Come out of there. You want to be delivered from addictions? You can be delivered from addictions. Spirits of addictions. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Altered appetite. Come out of there. Blurred vision. Come out. Breathing problems. Chills. Chest pain and chronic cough. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. All chronic sinus and nasal problems. Come out. Spirit of coma. Come out of there. Sudden death. Come out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out, all the death spirits. Come out of there. Distorted vision. Spirit of dizziness. Double vision. Come out in Jesus' name. Dried mouth. Dried tongue. Dried nose. And fatigue. Come out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. All faintness. Flushed face. Floating pupils. And headache. Come out. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Heart attack. Come out. High blood pressure. Hypertension. Come out of there. Spirits that cause increased heart rate. Come out. Increased blood pressure. Come out. Impaired motor coordination. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Impaired driving ability. Come out. Slow reaction time. Come out, demons. Come out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Increased heart rate. Come out of there. Increased appetite. Come out of there. Come out. Insomnia. Come out. Spirits of insomnia. Come out of there. Now the spirits of miscarriage. They usually increase the miscarriage because of drug use. I break the curse of miscarriage. In Jesus' name, I break the generational curses of miscarriage. In Jesus' name, I break those powers in Jesus' name. All miscarriage spirits, come out. Miscarriage one, miscarriage number two, miscarriage number three. All miscarriage spirits, come out of there. It is a demon of death in the womb. Come out of there in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you as we lift our hands before you for deliverance, God. Father, we just thank you right now. You pour your spirit in us. And those places that was once inhabited by the demons, God, we thank you for your presence, Lord God. And Lord, touch our hearts to search the scriptures, God, that we'll fill those areas that was once inhabited by the powers of darkness. For where light is, darkness must manifest. We want to fill it with the light of God's word. Lord, we're not concerned about them going back because you are in there now. But Lord God, we want the word. We want your word in our heart that we may not sin against you, Lord. The opposite of every spirit that has been loosed from us, Lord, we thank you for victory. We thank you for deliverance, God. But the opposite of every one of those spirits, Lord, we like to loose the opposite of those spirits in us. Lord, give us the seven spirits of the Lord. Lord, Lord, we just thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Lord, we ask you to fill us with your spirit, Lord God. Fill these grounds, Lord God. Send the angels of God. We are in agreement, Lord. Let the angels gather them all up in chains and shackles. And Lord, we issue a command for them to go in Jesus' name. And Lord, in days to come, as you continue to deliver us sovereignly, Lord, and we may spit up venom, Lord. We may cough, Lord God. We will not attribute this to cold or flu. But we will recognize for what it is. It is deliverance. And Lord, we will thank you, Lord God, and work in agreement with your will, Lord God, to be free. Lord, we just thank you. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your presence, Almighty God. Fill us this hour, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Everybody say, Lord, just fill us. Fill those areas right now, Lord. Fill those areas, Lord. We ask you to fill us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you. We worship you. We thank you, Lord, for deliverance. Thank you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.